Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a golf course.
70 courses!
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding!
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching!
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga!
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park!
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Kitchen Prescription, the podcast you listen to when you don't know what to make for dinner. How is everybody this week? I sincerely hope that everyone on your camp is healthy and that you're finding a rhythm for 2022. I don't know how you are all feeling, but I'm thinking that maybe we should just reboot 2022 on February 1st. It's not a terrible idea, right? January deserves a redo, in my opinion. But I don't know. In an effort to not dwell in the negative, let's talk about some positive things that have been happening. In fact, actually, let's do this. I want to talk about sweet and sour because this is somewhat relevant. So when I say sweet and sour, beyond thinking of delicious takeout, it makes me think of this game that our family plays at the dinner table. And chances are you may or may have in the past played something similar. I've heard people call it roses and thorns, high and low. The idea is simple. It's that you share a highlight and a low light from the day. My 9-year-old Ollie, like 9 times out of 10, he'll state that recess was the highlight of every day. But sometimes he shocks us and says something a bit more profound. But in the spirit of sweet and sour, let's do this. I'll give you my highlight for January as we close out this month and the low light as well. Starting with the highlight, I think it probably would be launching Recipe Club and this Kitchen Prescription podcast. And that may seem a little obvious or whatnot, but it's more because given the circumstances of just the state of the world and how January's unfolded, I kind of had every excuse to punt these two projects, but I'd committed to them, and it feels so good to have them out in the world, despite them having imperfections here and there. You know, it's exhilarating to be able to focus on helping you solve this problem of family dinner that so many people face. And I love this idea of just kind of making it better week after week or month after month. So that really has been a highlight for me. And I think it's been great for me to have these two specific projects to focus on, despite all of the craziness and the low light. I mean, this should come as no surprise to anyone, but it's all things COVID, watching friends and family deal with sickness and dealing with all of the cancellations and the closures has made it so hard to kind of map out a routine for the new year. And I am just ready. I am ready to kind of fall back into that routine. I feel like we never got there after the holidays. So hopefully that's what's happening in the next coming weeks. Okay, enough about fresh starts. I know you're here for dinner ideas, and I've got 3 simple ideas for you this week as you meal plan this last week of the month and usher in a new month. So let's get into them. The first one is my apple cheddar grain bowls. Let's just first talk about like the general concept of a grain bowl. I share these often, and I love a grain bowl because for me, A, it's just a really easy dinner. Grains are something you can make in advance and have on hand and do throughout the week. And with the age of my kids, grains are something they really like. And so that's whether it's farro or brown rice or quinoa or white rice or couscous, whatever it may be, I just usually have grains on hand, and that tossed with some greens and some cheese and some protein, it's just easy to throw together. So this combination in particular is dynamite. So what it is I like using farro, but if you don't have access to farro or that ingredient intimidates you, you can use rice. Wild rice, brown rice, whatever. I particularly like the quick cooking farro at Trader Joe's. It cooks in 10 minutes. And what I like about it is it's got this really nutty flavor and it's kind of chewy and it is so, so yummy. I just love it. Now you can buy farro at any grocery store, but that Trader Joe's, when it comes in a little blue bag, something about that that just does it for me. I love it. That is the grain I like to use in this dish. Then some kale, some shredded kale. You could absolutely do a spring mix of greens, or you could do spinach, or you could do arugula, whatever, but I like kale in this. 4 cups of sliced or shredded chicken. So you could go ahead and use a rotisserie chicken for that, or you could just roast off some chicken breasts. A Honeycrisp apple. After last week, you know how I feel about a Honeycrisp apple. I like them sweet, but if you wanted to use a tart apple, that would be great too. But a Honeycrisp, an avocado sliced and then seasoned with some salt and pepper. It's really important that you don't skip that step of seasoning with salt and pepper. And then we've got some white cheddar, or the unexpected cheddar from Trader Joe's, or that Beecher's cheese cubed and so yummy. And then some pecans, and it's all tossed together with a creamy balsamic dressing. And on my site, I've got a recipe for a creamy balsamic dressing you can make in a mason jar, or you can go ahead and pick up a favorite from a grocery store, and that works great too. But it's just like a match made in heaven between the apple and the white cheddar and the avocado and those grains and the kale, and it's beautiful. This dish pulled together in a bowl is so beautiful. If you've got young kids who like their meals deconstructed, there's nothing easy. You got your apple in one corner, you got your grains in the other corner, you got your chicken down below, and you got your cheddar. So this is always a hit for us. I love this recipe, and we'll be making this week. So that's one of those recipe not required. Once you've made it, once you get that combo in your mind, it's easy to return to it. Next, skillet chicken piccata. This was probably one of the first recipes that I believe my mom taught me how to make. It's a recipe I've always loved, grew up having it, and it's, in a weird way, it's kind of comfort food to me, but, oh, it's so good. And, you know, it's just kind of one of those recipes everyone should know how to make. It's really simple. In fact, I would consider this a pantry meal. If you are someone who keeps chicken on hand, you should really have pretty much everything else to make this all the time. So the one thing I'm going to recommend is, should you make this recipe, it's written for like a regular chicken breast that you slice in half to make it thinner, but you can also just buy chicken cutlets at the grocery store or thinly sliced chicken breasts. I really, really like those, especially as someone who prefers a chicken thigh over a chicken breast because chicken breast doesn't have as much flavor. If I'm having chicken breast, I prefer it to be a cutlet or that thinly sliced chicken breast. Just something about the texture and the taste that I feel is better. And for my kids, they do better when I'm serving them chicken cutlets versus a full breast. So if that's not something you've bought in the past, you might want to try it. I tend to think they're really great and easy to cook with, and they cook so dang fast. They are really, really quick, so great for weeknight meals. So what I do in this recipe is I dredge it in some flour, I season it off, put it in a skillet with a little butter and some olive oil, and then the sauce is so simple. It is chicken broth, some lemon, capers, and some parsley. Now, some of you are going to hear capers and think, oh, I don't think I like capers. Give them a try. They're not that expensive, and it's a classic ingredient in chicken piccata. I will admit that my kids don't like them in this dish, so I pull them out for my kids. But, oh my gosh, this pan sauce is so, so good. It's lemony and buttery, and what is in this recipe? There's like, what, 7 ingredients? It's It's really simple. You finish it with parsley. I always serve it with pasta. In fact, this is a very funny quick story. I made this dish once when I competed on Guy's Grocery Games, and I made it with angel hair pasta because that's how my mom did it. And I'll never forget, I was competing and Guy said, "The last time I had this meal was like at a wedding in the Bronx in 1997 or something." Like, he made a joke about it being like a 90s meal or something. And he said, "Why would you do angel hair pasta?" And I said, "Because, Guy, that is what my mom did. And to me, that is comfort, and that is how chicken piccata should be served." Anyways, it was kind of a funny memory. But when I make this dish, I think of that experience. All right, chicken piccata. If you haven't made it before and you like lemon, you cannot beat this pan sauce. It is that good. The last recipe is sheet pan teriyaki pork tenderloin with peppers and pineapple. Say that 10 times. It's a little bit of a mouthful. But you know what it's not? It's not a lot of ingredients. In fact, I think I list every single ingredient in the title. That's how few ingredients there are. So it is a pork tenderloin, teriyaki sauce, use a red onion, some fresh pineapple, and some bell peppers. Ladies and gentlemen, that is 5 ingredients. This is a 5 ingredient recipe. So, so, so good. It's a Recipe Club recipe from January. And in the recipe, I give you both a suggestion for making it with a store-bought sauce, which I'm a big fan of the very, very teriyaki or the soyaki at Trader Joe's. Both are great, but then if you prefer to make your own sauce from scratch, I give you a recipe for that as well. What's so great about this recipe is not only does it have very few ingredients, but it has so much flavor and it is so colorful. So when it comes out of the oven, it's like, I mean, we eat with our eyes first and it's like this rainbow of colors of the red onion and the red bell pepper and the bright yellow pineapple. And you've got these really delicious teriyaki flavors. This one in particular happens to be a huge hit with my young kids. So that's a recipe you're going to want to get. It's so delicious. All of the Recipe Club January recipes were fantastic. I received so much encouragement from club members. I really think we're onto something here. I provide a suggested serving for an adult plate and for a picky eater plate, and people have really liked that. And I'm just wrapping up those February recipes and cannot wait to share them with you in just a few days. So those are your 3 recipes. We've got our apple cheddar grain bowls, we have our chicken piccata, and the sheet pan teriyaki pork tenderloin. Hopefully that is a great jumping off point for you as you meal plan for the week. Hopefully it's an easier week than some of these January weeks have been. I'm sending you all my best. Now that we're done with recipes, let's get into the kitchen prescription portion of the podcast. I am thrilled to introduce you all to my guest today. I love this guest for so many reasons, and you're going to understand why here in a bit. But one being that she gave me one of the greatest gifts I've ever received. She has an infectious personality and is one of the easiest people to get to know and like. And if you know her, you know what I'm talking about. She's a mom to 6, including 4 very hungry teenagers at home right now, a soon-to-be grandma, and an endless source of best bets. My guest today is none other than my sister-in-law, Betsy. Welcome to the podcast, Betsy.
Thanks. I'm so excited to be here.
We are so happy to have you. So Betsy is my husband's sister and has been super important to our family. If you followed our story at all, you likely know that we had to grow our family through gestational surrogacy, and Betsy carried my 5-year-old daughter, Nora. And, you know, Betsy, I think you can agree, one way to really get to know someone is to work with them to bring life into the world.
Absolutely.
So not only did Betsy carry my Nora, but we've also lived under her roof for weeks at a time, maybe months at a time on more than one occasion.
Oh, it was the best. We loved it.
Oh, it really was. We were with Betsy right when the first March 2020 quarantine kicked off. And I'm grateful that we have that memory together because it actually was pretty fun.
It was so fun. It was. The world stopped and we just ate and played games. We had a blast.
Yes, we did. So needless to say, I have spent a lot of time being served from and cooking with Betsy in her kitchen. And Betsy, I think I think we've cooked multiple Thanksgiving dinners together, right?
We have. Yes. I'm the luckiest girl ever to have Kelsey Nixon in my kitchen for Thanksgiving. It's a dream.
I don't know. I think I'm the luckiest because correct me if I'm wrong, Betsy, but I think maybe of you may have many signature recipes, but when I think of Betsy Keller in a signature recipe, I think of your rolls. Would you agree?
They are so good. Yes. And it's not a recipe I made up, so I can't take credit, but I've been making them for so long now that I kind of claim them. They're delicious.
Oh my gosh. And when I think of those Thanksgiving dinners, I really don't care about anything else other than rolls and the homemade freezer jam that you have.
And bring your cranberry salad and it'll make a meal. So
there we go. And my kids would say that you have the best snacks in your pantry of anyone in the world.
We do like to keep it stocked with all the goodness.
After having my sister Kylie on last week and we discussed some of the pain points of feeding young kids day in and day out, I thought it might be interesting to have Betsy follow up and discuss what it's like feeding a household of teenagers. For this kitchen prescription portion today, I want to talk to Betsy about what's working for her in her life, from cooking to the organization and how she makes her kitchen function with ease. Maybe we can pick up a few things that might make our own kitchens run a bit smoother. So with that said, Betsy, tell us the makeup of your family and who you are feeding under your roof right now.
Okay. I have six kids. My two oldest daughters are both married and not living at home, but the remaining four are all in the teenage years. So I have a senior, junior, and freshman in high school. And then I have a seventh grader, all four of them pretty active in sports, especially this time of year, we're really busy. So just kind of doing a lot of chasing and trying to keep people fed.
There's a couple things that I really love about Betsy as a parent. One being that you are the only person that's gotten me excited for teenagers because you have said time and time again how fun it is to have teenagers. But right now that feels so scary to me. And I love that you celebrate that.
Yeah, it really is so fun. We are every year we're like, this is our favorite phase of life. Like, this is so fun. And I dreaded my kids moving out of the house, but it's been fun to have married adult kids come back. And the teenage years, they do get a bad rap. And sometimes you roll your eyes, but for the most part, they really are just fun. It's so fun to see them come into their own personalities and have their own preferences. We've loved
it. Yeah. And then I hear you saying over my head that busy is better than bored. And you are a big proponent of keeping kids busy.
Yeah.
And so I know that those four kids are super busy, which is good for keeping them out of trouble, but can be really challenging when you're trying to feed them dinner, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Talk to me about the biggest pain points in your kitchen in this phase of life.
Yes, for sure. My biggest pain point is just the timing of dinner. We've always been a big family dinner kind of family, sitting around the table at the same time. And for years, it worked great. We don't really have control over when practices are happening or dance classes or some of these things. And not everyone's home at the same time. So that's definitely a stress of just, what time are we actually going to eat? And if we can't eat together, what can I make so that, you know, if someone's going to miss dinner, it can still taste good to them when they get home and look appetizing, if even it's been sitting on the stove for the last 2.5 hours.
Yes, totally. That makes so much sense. And I do want to point out, because I think this idea, we all know that it's a great idea to sit down and have a meal together every day, but it's not terribly realistic for every stage of life. But one thing the Kellers do that I've always looked to and thought, I really want to mimic that, is you guys are serious about Sunday dinner. And wouldn't you say most every Sunday you are together with not only your immediate family, but some extended family as well,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And that was something that I hopped into not knowing. We moved back to my husband's hometown where his parents lived, and it was something that they had been doing. And I'm really grateful for that tradition. We do spend Sundays with our extended family, and it's been great because I really only have to make Sunday dinner, which we go all out. I mean, we make a nice, really big meal, and I only have to do it maybe once or twice a month because we rotate homes and eat at each other's houses. And it's been awesome. A really fun way for the kids to spend time with cousins and grandparents, and something that I personally didn't, you know, walk into this thinking, this is what we're going to do, but it's just turned into that. And it's really been a wonderful tradition for our kids and for our family.
I love that. And what I love most about it is that it feels like a ritual. And when your kids leave home, like your two oldest have, I would imagine that when they think back on their childhood, that's one of those things that they remember. It's like a core memory for them. And when we think about the benefits of family dinner, it's that, it's the relationships, it's the people, it's the ritualistic family behavior that really has a big impact, more so than, you know, the quick and easy recipes or the gourmet recipes. So I really love that you've done that. And if you do find yourself in a chapter of life where it's just not realistic to sit down and have
dinner as a family 5, 6, 7 nights a week. Maybe you have a spouse or a partner that works really crazy hours. I think even just starting with one day a week where you know you're going to get to the table together is good enough. I really, wouldn't you say, Betsy, that you see benefit from that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that. And I do.
So this idea of the challenge of kids being busy and not being home at the same time, I remember that from my childhood. And I actually asked my mom this because I was thinking about this. And I remember coming home. I grew up dancing and, you know, I was a very busy teenager. And I can remember lots of times getting home and my family had had dinner. And then my mom would sit and talk to me and feed me dinner. And I actually remember that conversation and those moments with me and my mom actually being, I look back fondly on those. And I said, how did you do that? And she goes, well, don't you know about the 200 degree oven? And this is, I had forgotten about this, but this really is such a good tip. And I get this question a lot around Thanksgiving. Like, how do I make food and keep it warm? How do I make food advance and keep it warm? You may have a fancy kitchen with a warming drawer. I think that's on my bucket list. I'd love to have a warming drawer one day.
Yeah, me too.
But if not, a 200 degree oven is so awesome. You can put just about anything in a 200 degree oven and keep it warm. Have you ever done that, Betsy?
I have, but I had forgot about the 200 degree oven. So I'm so glad you're reminding me because this is seriously going to come in handy this week.
This is the other thing my mom reminded me of is, you know how foil has two sides? There's a matte side and a shiny side. And if you put the shiny side down towards the food, it's reflective. And so it helps to maintain the heat better than the matte side. So now I have not conducted a scientific experiment to prove just how much warmer the shiny side will keep your food. Remember, the 200 degree oven and the shiny side down on the foil.
Shiny side down. Hey, change it.
That gives you something, right?
Save dinner this week, Kelsey.
Oh, that's so funny. All right, Betsy. So you've got those busy kids. What else is another pain point you feel in your kitchen?
I think the other thing is just trying to find recipes that everyone likes. I feel like I suddenly have one child who's like, well, I don't really like chicken, but everyone else loves it. So I feel like I'll make something and two of the kids will be like, loved it. And two of the kids will be like, eh. It's kind of defeating when someone's like, oh, I don't really like it. And you're like, well, I don't want to keep making this because half the kids don't like it. So I think it's just tricky trying to find like recipes that, and that's sometimes impossible. I'm not going to only make recipes that everyone in the family adores because then I'd be making chicken nuggets every night or whatever.
Every night. Right. Totally.
But I do, you know, you do want to put something on the table that most of the family is like, oh, I enjoyed that. Thanks, mom.
Totally.
You know?
To me, Betsy, this is just a repackaged toddler problem, but it is super, I mean, I feel it in kind of the different category, right? Of toddlers, but it's a problem that really never goes away. And you may experience this problem as a listener with a spouse even. I think it's really challenging. And things that I've done that have helped kind of combat this is, I mentioned it last week with my sister, but this greatest hits list on my phone, because sometimes I'll make something, especially if I've just made it for the first time and everybody likes it. If I do not write it down, I forget about it.
I totally
forget about it. So if I can just put it in my phone, and then when I'm meal planning and I have those weeks of feeling defeated where it's like, I made 2-3 recipes this week that nobody even wanted to eat. Cause that is just such a frustrating feeling.
Oh yes.
And then the other thing that's helped us a little bit is just when I feel so frustrated that I've had a week of disappointing meals, meaning people felt disappointed, I'm like, yes, fine, it's up to you guys. If you want to like something this week, you tell me what you want me to make.
And I need to be better about that. I think that's genius.
Yeah, really involving your kids and helping you map out the meal, I think is good. But I also want to acknowledge that that's easier said than done, right? And we do what we can and we prioritize getting to the table when we can and whatnot. So, all right, Betsy, I want to know, we like to talk about organizing, outfitting, and then some kitchen systems. So when you're cooking for such a big family and big eaters, is there any systems of organization that you have in your kitchen or your pantry or your fridge or your freezer that tend to work well for feeding in that stage of life?
Yes. One thing I love the most is I got the idea from you, Kelsey, is that I have a bake center in my kitchen. I had the luxury of, we bought a home that had been previously owned. And so after a few years, we decided to remodel the kitchen. And Kelsey, you said, you know, you should consider putting in a bake center. And I was like, I don't even know what that is, but you showed me what it was. And I, sure enough, I put in a bake center, and I love having all of my baking type things, my flour, my sugar, my basic, you know, baking soda and salt, and all those things are all right there accessible. And I have a little countertop that I can keep my blender on, and my Bosch mixer, and my measuring cups are in a drawer right underneath. Like, everything is just in one spot. And so if I'm going to go make rolls, or I'm going to go whip something together, everything is there. And I feel like it's such a time saver, instead of dashing from one cupboard to one drawer to one, it's just right there in front of me. I've loved having that.
And especially for you, where you do make a fair amount of bread and, yeah, and baked goods, right? Like, yeah, I feel like the ultimate luxury. I love, yes, it. And it's so, it's like disguised. In fact, Betsy has an amazing Instagram account called Betsy's Best Bets. And Betsy, you have you done a reel or a tour, like, of the bake center?
I did like a live one time. I should probably make a reels or something, but
you should
can
make
go-
a reel.
I should, about the bake center. But I do, if you go look under, I think, and one of my highlights is called like My House or something, you can go find it under there.
Yeah, because it really is a brilliant idea. And if you're able to, and even if you look are not remodeling a kitchen, but you're able to carve out a corner or right, a drawer or something, that idea of, if you do something repetitively, like for me, this is a little embarrassing, but I make a lot of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches right, yes, now. There's nothing embarrassing about that.
No, they're delicious. But
I have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich bin, and it has the peanut butter and the bread and the honey for the people who like the honey. And then obviously our jams in the fridge, but it's just so easy for me to just pull the bin. If I know I'm going to be making at least one or two of those sandwiches a day.
So smart. I love, yeah, that.
I got to mention this, because if we're going to talk about organization, I think the other thing you got to show people on Instagram is how cute your pantry is, because not only is it well organized, but people, Betsy has wallpaper in her pantry, and not just on the walls, right? Is there wallpaper on the ceiling?
Totally. I totally wallpaper the ceiling. I paid someone to wallpaper the ceiling because I'm not that crazy, but I love it. It was like one of those little guilty pleasure things. I just kept looking in my pantry, and it was so boring. And luckily, I mean, I have a walk-in pantry, which I know is also such a luxury. It's something I just dreamed of for so many years. So to have it is a dream. And then I thought, it's so boring. So we did wallpaper it, and it's been so fun.
Well, okay. That's another, I'm going to make a request. So when you go looking for Betsy's Bake Center, you got to look for her pantry too, because it is the world's cutest pantry. And I don't know, I feel like when I love that idea of taking a useful space, whether it be in your kitchen or your home, that you know you use, and you're going to be in and out of so many times. And if you find yourself being annoyed by it, decorate it, babe. Yeah. I think it's kind of like the same notion of, if you want to start exercising, buy yourself a new workout outfit. Yeah. It's easier.
It works. Yes.
It's easier to get excited about it and excited about implementing a system if you invest a little bit in the appearance of it. So
I don't know why it works, but I 100% agree. I don't mind going in the pantry or tidying up the pantry, because it's a fun place to be, because it's appealing to look
cute
at.
And be there. Yeah. Very, yeah, cute. Awesome. All right. So let's talk about outfitting. So as when you're feeding big, because I know you've got four teenagers, but then when you're hosting your Sunday dinners, you've got a lot of people there.
Yeah.
When you're feeding big groups, are there any tools, kitchen appliances, small appliances, tools, things like that, that you find to be really good for these big groups?
One thing I really love is, I was at a restaurant supply store and found large full-size cookie sheets. And I use those for everything. They go wall to wall in my oven. So I take up the entire rack, and I can fit double the amount of, I especially use them for my rolls, because then you can cook twice as many rolls in one shot. Same with cookies, same with anything you're going to put on a cookie sheet. And then I also have found the same with muffin tin. So I have like a 24 count muffin tin, great, that goes wall to wall, you know, just things like that, that, you know, you're going to be making a bunch. Let's get the right tools for it. And, you know, a good size pan, which I need to find the pan that you've been talking about, because,
oh yes, amazing. This is the, and we'll link to it in the show notes, but it is the Hexclad 14 inch skillet with a dome lid. And it's like the unicorn of skillets for big families. I'm trying to think, I think I first saw the girls on Our Best Bites talk about this, but I was so influenced and wanted to try it out, and I got it, and it's great. And Hexclad in general is just a great kind of hybrid stainless steel cookware brand that has been new to me the past couple of years, and I've been really impressed with it. So we got to get you one of those, because I think for your big family, it's just a nice roomy, yeah, skillet with dual handles and this big lid, and it's a great piece. So
I would love that.
That's awesome. And Betsy, you talking about the sheet pans and the full size sheet pans. I get a lot of requests for sheet pan dinners. It's probably the most requested thing that I get. And I just tested this last week because there's a sheet pan dinner in the February Recipes for Recipe Club. And I wanted to know if you could double my sheet pan recipe on one big sheet pan. So that if you've got a big family and you know, okay, well, four chicken breasts is not going to feed my family. If you were to get one of these, you could just double it and it all fits on.
And I do.
It worked great. Yes.
I do. I don't think I've ever made one of your sheet pan recipes on half size. I think I almost always, you should have called me. Yes, it works great. I almost always double because by the time you cut up that many vegetables or anything's on the side for our eating six of us, which, you know, some of the boys are big eaters, you know, I have to do it. And it works great. I love having that big pan and I love sheet pan dinners, especially yours.
Mm. Oh, the pretzel chicken. I got to say, that's one of those recipes where I made it once and everybody loved it. And then I kind of forgot about it. And now it's Nora's favorite thing. And I had like a good 9 month stretch where I could have been making that pretzel chicken.
I did the same thing. I made it once and everyone loved it. And then I forgot to print it up or put it somewhere. And then later, I think you posted about it again. I was like, oh, wait, that one was delicious. We got to make that again. So good.
That's why that great
put it in the rotation.
In my phone. Yes. It's like, I know, even if I don't print it out, it's on the list. And yes. So I know it's there. Anyways, well, good. Okay. So then we've talked a little bit about systems, or things that work with your kids, but I know that you are a big proponent of meal planning. And since I've spent so much time in your house, I know you kind of have like this awesome family command center with a whiteboard calendar at the center where you write out, do you write out your meals for an entire month or how do you do your meal planning?
I'm really just week to week. And I usually mostly because I base it around what's happening that night. Like what kind of meal am I going to make? Because are we even going to be home or who's going to be eating it? You know, and I can kind of plan my meals based on what's happening. So I'm a Sunday night, Monday morning kind of put in my grocery order. You and I both such a fan of grocery delivery. Forever. I just never going back to the store.
But no.
So I will put in grocery orders Sunday night, hopefully have them delivered Monday. Although people have clued in now, I've got to get on it faster because and I'm like, great, my groceries are coming at 8 p.m. This was dumb.
Yes.
But anyway, but I am so much more successful when I meal plan on Sunday night. So I usually do it, you know, there we have our off weeks, but I do love having that planned out, even if I don't make it, knowing the ingredients are there, you know, if I'm like, oh, this isn't going to work, but I have these ingredients so I can push it to the weekend. So I know you're a Thursday girl. I'm like done thinking about dinner by Thursday. So I'm like, if I can get a Monday, I can get four good meals in because I really don't love cooking on Friday nights.
Totally. Well, and honestly, one of the reasons Thursday is my day is I know if I start thinking about it on Thursday, it'll probably happen by Sunday.
So. There you go.
I have to have a runway.
I love it.
Oh gosh. Well, that's awesome, Betsy. Any other tips you've got for everybody about feeding teenagers or big families? I know that two of your girls are out of the house. As you've had so much experience feeding a family over the years, is there anything that you would tell maybe a listener that might be a young mom who's in the throes of feeding young people right now? Any other advice?
Well, I will say I've had some picky eaters over the years and just don't stress about it. They will eat. And if they don't, they figure out what they like. I have one of my married daughters who was such a picky eater her entire life. And she still is, but it's not my problem anymore. But she's never complains about it. Like she figured out these are foods I like. These are foods I don't. And if it's being served, I just don't eat it. And she finds something to eat and it's just not that big of a deal. But all the stress when she was little, if she's not going to eat or trying to force foods or trying to just let it go, they'll eat. Their bodies will grow. They will be healthy children. Like if they don't like vegetables. And you know, the other day we were out to dinner and she's like, Mom, look, I'm eating a hamburger. Keep in mind, she's 21 years old. she was so like, look at me, I'm eating a burger, which other than like a McDonald's little skinny hamburger when she was little, that really wasn't, I don't even know if she ate those. She probably ate chicken nuggets. But anyway, they grow up, they'll eat like it all. It's like potty training. They'll eventually do it. So don't spend so much time stressing or force feeding. It's okay. It's all going to work out.
Honestly, I think I bore witness to some of this pickiness. I was like, does she just live on rolls? She might just live on rolls.
Yeah, but she might.
But But what's so crazy is that Maggie, who is now an amazing yoga instructor, you look at her and this girl is healthy and strong and thriving. And I think we just kind of have to let things work themselves out, right?
Yep. She's gotten better. She does eat some, she'll eat like carrots. We're still kind of limited, but if you look at her, you would never guess that she wasn't eating this really well-balanced meal, but she's fine.
She looks like the epitome of health. And you know, maybe her metabolism and her makeup is just what it is, but it's certainly not worth. Can you imagine if you had fought her at the dinner table all of those years? Like, that's not what we want. We do this like, no, thank you bite. If you don't like it, you take one bite, you say no, thank you. And then you can have something that you do like. And by the way, the things that they do like are things that I don't have to make because I don't believe it being a short order cook at dinner.
Yes, yes.
But if you want a string cheese or an apple or some carrots, fine. We are not going to fight at the dinner table. And I think that's working for us right now. And Maggie really is. She should be the poster girl for it's going to be okay if you have a picky eater.
It is. It really is. I promise. Don't force feed broccoli. Like, it's just not worth it. It's not worth it. They'll figure it out. It's okay.
Well, Betsy, you are the best. And please, I invite you to go check out her page, Betsy's Best Bets. Not only does she share delicious recipes and things that work for her family, but you just share things that make life easier, right?
I try. Things I've picked up along the way that I'm like, hey, I don't know. Everyone doesn't do this. Let's try this. But I love learning from people who follow along too. I'm constantly learning and growing. And it's been a really fun little hobby for me.
Well, it's a bright spot in my week, following along, and I invite you guys to do the same. Betsy, you're the best. Thanks so much.
Oh, you're the best. Thank you.
All right, that's it for the episode today. I hope you enjoyed meeting my sister-in-law, Betsy, and that as we talked through some of her weeknight dinner woes and learned so much from her about what it's like to feed so many teenagers. Hopefully it helped you come up with a few good ideas for your own kitchen. Remember that new episodes will drop every Thursday, and in the meantime, you can follow me on Instagram, join Recipe Club, or sign up for my Family Meal Makeover course if you're looking to organize your kitchen from top to bottom. It would mean the world to me if you took a few minutes to rate and review the podcast so that others who are stuck trying to decide what to make for dinner can find it. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it. Can't wait to talk to you next week.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.